Well, we're going to spin the wheel of misfortune in about 90 minutes, and this feels like a Jerry's percentages day, but I am never privy to what we might do. So Jerry might be a little bit busy. I feel like Jerry might have to turn us down this afternoon. Because
I would say so.
Yeah, I'm not sure he's going to have time for us and hot takes and Bob Kraft and, you know, all the good stuff that generally Jerry brings to the table on a Wednesday at 5:30. I feel like he's probably preoccupied this afternoon.
Flexing muscles?
Oh, man. He was doing the Tom Wilson flex on top of his desk last night. He just geared down and just started wheeling around his desk. But I kind of, well, tell him what actually went down so we can get into it, Hayes.
Yeah, so the news this afternoon, because we talked a lot about the Rangers yesterday, their response to what happened with Tom Wilson the night before. And I'd say about an hour ago, news broke that the president of the team, John Davidson, and the GM, Jeff Gordon, have been fired. So they're out. They're fired in New York. And it's just a gong show with three games to go. And they're playing tonight. Tom Wilson is on their ice tonight.
Dude,
like, he's walking into the Garden
tweet.
Probably right now.
No. The best tweet you had. You broke the Baffert tweet with Tom Wilson leaving MSG as the Joker and MSG blowing up behind him. It is the greatest tweet I've ever seen. So kudos to you on that one.
I don't know. Like, you know what? Like, we're going to – there's – it's almost like there's too much to unpack here. Like, there really is. You know, and I'm glad we got 3 hours, but we got a lot of moving parts. But I will say, on a serious note, I'm concerned about tonight from a league perspective. And I know that we had hot takes and we were yelling and screaming yesterday about this. I look back on revisionist history, and I am going to agree with you, Brian, because I was fine with the $5,000 fine. I think it should have been one game, because just think, like, this saga has unfolded on so many different roads. What if something bad happens tonight on the ice tonight?
That's exactly what I was claiming yesterday, was if you see the infraction, and listen, there was enough in what happened a couple of nights ago in terms of the whole scene and the whole situation where, as a league, you could have come to the conclusion it's not in our best interest to have Tom Wilson playing two nights later at the Garden, which is what's going to happen tonight. And he is an agent of chaos. Like, he's the Joker. He's got no plan. You know, he's showing up. He's walking in there tonight like Conor McGregor, like Vince McMahon walking down to the ring, because he has left a wake of destruction behind him to the point where the Rangers look like they're self-destructing. Like, they don't know how to handle this. And if I'm a player, I'm trying to figure out what the messaging is right now. Like, what
for
is
who?
The message in terms of what my owner, what my team is trying to direct towards me about how I'm supposed to step up to Tom Wilson tonight?
Dude, like, there's nothing you can do. Don't you think the New York Rangers have said they don't have a guy to do it? Like, they don't have a guy to do it. It's, let's get this over with and we'll move on. What are they're not going to go. You can't beat the guy up. There's not one guy.
It's not about
roster.
Beating the guy up. We referenced Milan Lucic running into Ryan Miller last week. Paul Gostad is not a heavyweight champion of the world. Gostad realized, I got to go this guy tonight. Like, I have to go him for our own dignity. And again, I'm not suggesting this should happen or has to happen. And I know people are going to roll their eyes and say, we're not in that era anymore. And maybe we're not. But ultimately, we don't get to make that call outside of the room. If the viewpoint is within the room, someone's got to do something tonight, then it's not about beating him up. It's about the challenge. It's about sending a message, because history would suggest that's exactly what happens tonight. It happened with Wayne Simmonds and Alex Edler a week and a half ago. You know, like, that is what the history of this game would suggest is likely going to happen tonight. I don't know if it
would
will
you
or
support
not.
The Caps? Would you support the Caps just scratching Wilson and saying we're not taking the chance on somebody breaking your ankle tonight?
I don't know about that. I mean, you'd have to go to him. He'd have to be all for it, right?
But here you're right. But here's the other thing. What if it's not Tom Wilson? All eyes are going to be on this game. Should have been a throwaway game. The Rangers are done Saturday.
Somebody might grab somebody else like
exactly.
The old days and say it's your ass that's going to get beat up.
What if Chris Kreider accidentally on purpose decides to run the goalie, or, you know, something else happens? Are we going to attribute it to, well, two nights ago? This is like the point being, and even if Tom Wilson didn't play tonight, there might be some retribution. I just think – I'm concerned about it because if the league would have given him one game, then at least they've taken him out of the equation. But now he has the opportunity to play tonight. If something gets stupid, or even if there's an accident that looks like, oh, you know, accidental on purpose, what is the narrative going to be? And God forbid, and I know this is hyperbole and it's crazy, but like all I can think of is like Bertuzzi on Steve Moore. I could, you know, like the league, that game, Ray said he was in the building and there was a buildup. And like, you know, I'm just honest to God, as a fan, as a former player and all that, I'm fingers crossed that nothing happens tonight and we get through this and just life goes on. I know hockey is tough and you know, there's like Sidney Crosby and Konechny were wrestling last night, you know, same type of scenario, but Tom Wilson has earned that reputation and all eyes were on him. And it was Panarin got injured. I just don't want any more. This saga is
that's why, again, as I said yesterday, they should have suspended him for one game. This is silly to put yourself in a position as a league with your history and what you know of the way things can play out and the way things can boil up, suspend him for a game. Tom Wilson wouldn't complain about that. The Capitals wouldn't complain about that. No one would complain. The only people that would complain would be those that would say it still wasn't enough, which, again, right. If you want a ban for life for a 15, 20-game suspension, I can't get there. I can't reason with that. You're entitled to that opinion. Go ahead. But I would have the smart play, and I'll bet you they regret it now. I'll bet you I'm curious if they ever even considered it, because you never hear from anyone. You never hear from George Parros. You never hear from Bettman or Daly. You don't hear from anybody. But how could you not look at the schedule and realize, because of COVID, they're still in New York and they're at the Garden tomorrow night? Like, how could you not take that into consideration if you're a league? It's right. To me, it's such a missed opportunity to truly diffuse the situation.
I don't know about you guys, Hayes.
Wilson's going tonight, and who knows what's going to happen? Who knows?
I don't know about you guys, but how many people around the sports world and people that weren't even hockey fans want to tune in to Rangers Capitals tonight that otherwise might not have? Like, there was an incident with the Steelers and the Browns a couple years ago with their, I believe it was their quarterback, Mason Rudolph, and there was some ugly stuff. There was language, and it was kind of ugly. But guess what? Guess what everybody wanted to tune into? What game? The next time they played each other, everybody wanted to watch Cleveland Pitt. It's like, whoever wanted to watch Cleveland before? And that incident kind of brought attention and people wanted to watch Cleveland Browns. I don't know about you guys, but I'm dying to watch the Rangers Capitals tonight.
But
isn't it kind of good for the game? You don't want something stupid to happen, but everybody's going to be watching hockey tonight. Everyone's going to be watching the Rangers Caps. Like, is that a dumb take?
No, that's a true – what it is it's a true take that you're not allowed to say publicly anymore in 2021. This is where we are as a society. You're not allowed to admit the obvious. The truth is the emotion, the passion, the rivalry, the hatred, all that kind of stuff does factor into the sport and does drag people in. Right. And – again, because of where we are, because of how the sport has evolved, and because of what we know today, it's not something that is promoted. The league has stopped promoting it.
There's no violence, like, nobody wants violence. I don't want somebody to get hurt. I kind of defended Tom Wilson. Yes, I don't want to see Panarin get hurt or crack his head open. But in a league where there's no animosity, they've got the league at a point where they wanted to. There's no fighting. There's no animosity. A lot of nights, there's no hits. So nobody got hurt. Let's hope it stays that way. And everybody's tuning in to Caps Rangers tonight. I don't know. I think it's good for the game. Well, the people wanting to watch anyway.
The people. My concern is if it crosses a line. If somebody does something ridiculously
stupid.
Jamie,
who the hell in this day and age is going to do something that crosses the line?
Okay, but you know what? Tom Wilson did the other night, and that's the thing. Like, so if Tom, what if Tom Wilson gets pissed off and somebody suckers him in a scrum and he decides to dummy somebody else right to the ground? You know what I mean? He's getting the opportunity. Or what if it's like the ultimate troll job? The toughest guy is not on that ice is not Tom Wilson. What if Chara goes, you know what? don't come near my teammate or I'm going to start throwing people around.
He was an X factor I thought about yesterday. You want to screw around with Wilson? I'll be there. I'm going to dummy you too.
Well, Big Strud wasn't wrong in the sense that, like, Struddy laid it at the feet of the Rangers saying, like, Tom Wilson just did whatever he wanted the other day. And the Rangers, there are people in New York, Ranger fans, that are saying, you know, it would have been nice to have somebody on that roster that at least would have a little pushback. Doesn't have to be the traditional Colton Orr. And you're seeing, you know, Colton came out, George LaRocque. There's a lot of guys coming out with statements here on Twitter. But, like, maybe somebody that would have that pushback. And that gets back to now the way rosters are constructed.
And well, they're not constructed in that fashion at all. And what makes Wilson more of a modern-day player is the way he can play. He can skate, he can handle the puck, he can score. He's a very good player on top of, you know, the attitude, on top of the chip on the shoulder, his ability to be a loose cannon. So he's not a guy that's just, you know, sitting on the bench for 55 minutes a night. He brings more than that. But it gets back to the statement yesterday that was issued right at the end of our show, which to me, I read it over more last night. I really think it's an embarrassing moment for the Rangers.
I agree with
you. I still can't believe they went that far. And this is why I say this somewhat tongue-in-cheek, but Tom Wilson really is, like, he's an agent of chaos right now. Like, he goes in there, and he's left a wake of destruction behind him to the point where every player's coming out, you know, complaining about it publicly. And the head coach is complaining about it publicly, and the owner is issuing a statement.
Your
the owner
tweet
is issuing a statement calling it horrifying acts of violence, and George Parros needs to be fired. It's crazy.
Dude, like, I want to know.
It's
Hayes,
crazy that the Rangers have reacted this way. Hayes, I understand why they're mad. I get why they're mad, but to publicly just whine and complain like this, to me, I'm surprised.
Well, so one thing I understand about the situation is this might be backtracked a little bit, where apparently people weren't exactly thrilled with the Rangers season and Davidson and Gorton. It's like maybe the rebuild, they're a little bit disappointed in the performance. But what do you think, like, is the chain of events? Like, if Gorton and Davidson tried to separate themselves from that
statement.
Then was that a Dolan statement? And then what happens after that? He just said, screw these guys, I'm ending this? Like, what are the chain of events is what
I
want to know.
Let me. Do you not think that – I thought it was very weird that the NHL had no statement today. No,
I know.
But hear me out. This is the statement. This is Gary Bettman. If you ask me, again, I don't know behind the scenes, but
I think Gary Bettman calls fire those guys.
Gary Bettman can call him and say, this is how it's going to unfold here. Head's got to roll or your head's rolling, because you know what? Like, you don't challenge the way that I run this league. You put me in this situation. I'm going to fine you X amount of dollars. I'm going to do all of this. Unless you separate yourself from that. So, by the way, it wasn't me. It was those two. They're gone.
Well, there's a couple of things to unpack there, because my initial reaction, I think you guys shared the same reaction that I had, was a statement that was issued to that extent with that level of fire behind it and explosiveness behind it had to come from the owner. Like, you cannot come out as a GM and president and represent the team, which means you're representing the owner, and call for the head of a league employee. I've never seen it happen before.
No GM would be that stupid to do that.
And to further that point, if we are connecting these dots, and that's what a lot of people are trying to do, that Dolan said, okay, well, I'll make them the scapegoat, then Jeff Gorton and John Davidson should get out in front of this and should state that it wasn't them that had anything to do with the statement. But if this unravels to the point where it is, as if they're being a scapegoat or they're the ones that are going to take the blame for the ridiculousness of that statement last night, doesn't that scream lawsuit to you? Like, if you're Davidson and Gorton, you're like, wait a minute, you don't pin that on me. If they had nothing to do with the statement, you can't fire them because Bettman said he didn't like the statement.
Yeah, but Dolan could just come out and say, I'm firing them on performance. I didn't like the way our team was
performing. But how does that appease Bettman then? Like, if Bettman's so mad about the statement where he says heads have to roll here and you go, okay, these heads are rolling, and then those two heads pop up on, from
underwater.
I have a hard
time seeing Jerry say heads are rolling.
I know. You're right.
Heads
I don't
are
think
rolling.
That, I was trying to. I guess my point being is like the biggest flex you can see is not like people's jobs are gone. Like there's no statement. That's the statement. So I don't know if that's the case. Here's the other thing too. I know in business, and especially if there's a package or something, like there might be a NDA, non-disclosure, like there might be, hey, you're going and you're going to fully pay, well, but you can't discuss anything. You know, I don't know. Again, I'm just throwing spaghetti against the wall because I'm flabbergasted by the last 24 hours.
I think the last, 24, 48 hours.
48 hours.
Again, it all started with a scrum with Tom Wilson in the middle of it, and now the Rangers, everything appears to be collapsing. Now, we should point out Chris Drury has already been hired as the president and GM. So
right.
You do have to add that dot if we're connecting the dots here.
Yeah.
That would suggest this wasn't, you know, a passionate firing or an unraveling where they just said get out and when the dust settles, we'll figure it out. That might suggest that Drury was already well aware that he was getting
sure.
a gig. But then it brings into question the timing of it all. You know, because he issued the statement last night as a team, whoever was behind that, and you got Tom Wilson and the Cavs back in town at the Garden tonight, and now you fire your president and GM, and whatever the reasoning is the reasoning. We're talking about James Dolan. Trying to get a read on this guy is an impossibility.
No
it's
kidding.
Impossible to get a read on this guy. But I think the Rangers have had a pretty good year, all things considered. You know, like, yeah, they missed the playoffs, but they're in a really tough division. They got some really good young pieces. I think they're on the right path.
Oh, for sure. They got a great goalie. They got that Adam Fox. If he doesn't,
a stud.
He's a stud. Like up front, yeah. Those players can play. That Zibanejad's really rounded into a player. They've got two young players in Lafreniere and Kako. Like they're in really good shape. The weird part about it, and you'd always heard, like Chris Drury's name was always floated as Buffalo's going to hire him. Like any.
But has
he
done
Florida's
something, Jamie, that I'm not aware of? I like Chris. I played against him. He's a great guy. I would say hi to him. But is there some kind of team he had or something he's done where he's this wonder GM or wonder hockey executive? I don't know what, like, he's just got this golden child aura about him, and I'm wondering where it comes from.
I played with him in Calgary. Very sharp guy. I think he's progressive. I think he's almost like the Jim Nill. Do you remember it was Holland and Jim Nill? Like Jim Nill, people were trying to hire him for years.
Yeah, but
out
Jimmy
of Detroit.
Nill was 57 years old.
And he had won cups in Detroit.
Yeah, and grinded it out as an AGM in the minors and this and that and the other. This guy just shows up.
I don't
up.
Think
well,
it's
hold
overly
on. Comp-
yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry. Drury's been around for a long time. Like this isn't like year two for him. Like, I think he's been in that role for a long time.
Hasn't won a thing,
after.
Though, is the point. Like, comparing him to Jim Nill, Nill was the right-hand man for the late 90s, early 2000s Red Wings team. I don't think it's overly complicated. If you get in cozy with Dolan, you're in. Like, that's basically the way it works. Like, Glenn Sather had a job for life because Dolan was his boy and vice versa. What the hell did Sather do in New York forever? Nothing.
Nothing.
More or less. But just kept hanging around because Dolan was his guy. You know, and Isaiah Thomas. Think about how many times Isaiah Thomas has put himself in a bad position for a multitude of reasons, but Dolan loved him, so Dolan kept giving him opportunities. I don't think it's overly complicated. My assumption is, and I think it's pretty clear cut, Drury got in with Dolan. Dolan likes him, so Dolan gave him the gig.
Yeah, you're
you know,
not
Dolan,
wrong.
Like, again, trying to get a read on Dolan is impossible. Like, the Knicks are finally back, and now the other team's got to be – you know, dealing with a disaster.
It's crazy, but you know what? Somebody writing in, and it's true. The way Dolan does business, like, it all, there's no doubt it starts at the top, right?
It always does.
So, I mean, who is it that he got into? Was it Charles?
Charles Oakley.
Oakley, not Barkley. Oakley.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's a guy who's, he's a unique person for sure. Ultra rich. Like, I've met him a few times. Seemed like a pretty cool guy to me.
He owns both teams. He owns the Garden. He's worth $1 billion. He does whatever he wants to do. You know, like that.
You're right.
That's the way it operates. But the Knicks keep rolling, man. I saw a great tweet. We keep referencing great tweets, creative tweets about Knicks fans and how obnoxious they're going to be getting now. They already are. Their team's been a disaster for 15 years. But now that they're red hot, they're going to the playoffs, and Julius Randle's a stud, and R.J. Barrett's coming on, they are starting to get that chip back on their shoulder. And we'll play that for you a little bit later on. Darren Dreger coming up, though. We'll try to get more insight on this. We'll get into the Leafs at practice today. No Foligno. Doesn't sound like he'll play tomorrow. Won't play Saturday. But day-to-day, that's a good sign, right?
Yeah.
Like I was bracing for some pretty bad news, and I didn't pick up on that today.
I want to get your takes on Freddie, too, playing a half a game in the minors. Like, I don't know. We gotta
yeah, that
get
was
into that,
a
too.
Half a game in the minors.
I don't know. It's a longer conversation. We got to
okay. We'll get into that more coming up. Darren Dreger, Ray Ferraro will join us. The Jays are back in action tonight. Again, assuming Springer will not go. Trying to get a read on Charlie Montoyo is like trying to get a read on James Dolan when it comes to what's up with Springer. It's just an impossible to get a straight answer right now. So we'll get to the Jays and more coming up as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, race coming up just after 5. And Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider, will join us here in just a moment. We've got some Aaron Rodgers news too, man. That just keeps coming out. Every day there's some new scoop about what he's texting with the boys and what he's telling free agents. And
yeah, I won't be here. It's just like... He's either, like, he ain't going back there. He is not going back there. I don't know what happens to him, Hayes, but he's not going back there.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I'm reaching a breaking point here. Like, he's starting to bother me now.
Yeah.
Like, it's. I get it. You're not happy they drafted Jordan Love, but just relax, dude.
But, like, dude, that's the kind of thing you have to do. You saw with Kawhi in San Antonio, man. He's like, can't play. Not doing it. Not playing. Not going. Started pissing teammates off. You start pissing people off when you make them aware you don't want to be involved in that situation. And they try to have some response to you, and your only thing to do is try to keep irritating people. I've had guys want to get traded. They start showing up late. They start pissing people off in the room, or it's like it gets to a point where it's like, okay, can't have you around anymore.
No, that's what it feels like. It's like a sabotaging in a way. Like, if you hate the GM, that's fine. I mean, I'm sure you guys have been in situations where guys hate a GM.
Krause.
Who cares?
Right.
Yeah. Jerry Krause. Let's call him Brian.
Yeah, that's where I was gonna go. He's calling people by the wrong name on purpose, like to be disrespectful. I think it's hilarious.
He's referencing the Bulls GM that Jordan hated and Pippen hated. But where I take issue with it is, and a bridge too far, trying to sabotage free agents coming to Green Bay.
That's a kick in the pills.
That's outrageous, and that's selfish, and that's you're jamming up everyone else on the team at that point. And I never thought I'd get to this point this quickly, but I'm teetering here with Rodgers. He better figure it out, you know, and let's get this figured out sooner than later. Here's our TSN Hockey Insider, Darren Dreger. Dregs, obviously the New York Rangers have put themselves in the spotlight over the last 48 hours with everything that happened a couple of nights ago, with the statement that came out yesterday directed towards George Parros and the league, and now they fire their president and GM. What should we make of this? What do you think the league is thinking right now about everything that's going on with an original six team in the biggest market in the league?
Well, I mean, it's bizarre. There's no doubt about that. Obviously, the National Hockey League was very frustrated with the New York Rangers. Most likely, James Dolan, the owner of the New York Rangers, when the statement was issued, in response to the lack of supplemental discipline applied to Tom Wilson and the Washington Capitals. That was yesterday. Not much takes the NHL or catches the NHL by surprise. So I wouldn't at all be shocked if the commissioner's office knew that the front office changes were coming. Now, Rangers sources would have you to believe that the two are unrelated. And from Jeff Gordon's perspective as general manager, I buy it to a degree because another source who I've worked closely with over the years said that Dolan was letting management know as early as the weekend, this past weekend, that he wasn't happy with the season, that in his estimation, the New York Rangers underachieved. So, you know, that was then. This is now. How John Davidson got swept into it, I guess as president, you know, he's in charge of the overall hockey operations department. So, again, the Rangers would have you disconnect between what happened with Tom Wilson on the ice, the statement that was issued, again, believe it came from the offices of ownership, to the firings today. I don't know how you can separate the two entirely, it feels like a pretty big stretch to me, simply because of the timing of it all, right? I mean, you're not that far away from the end of the regular season. Like, why not just wait and do it as most teams would traditionally do it at the end of the year? So as I started, I'm going to end. I mean, just bizarre all around coming out of New York.
It is. And, I mean, that's the thing. Their last game is Saturday. I mean, you know, so they've got three games left. They play Saturday. You could have had all of these changes on Sunday or Monday, and you got the whole offseason to deal with. Where I was going to go, Dregs, we were talking about this earlier, and Hayes' joke that Tom Wilson has just left, what did you call it, a wake of chaos?
A wake of destruction. He's an agent of chaos is what he is. He's the Joker, basically.
But, you know, any rumblings or thoughts as to potential concerns about tonight's game, retribution, that type of stuff where the league may have open themselves up to even a bigger storyline if something crazy happens tonight.
Right, and traditionally what happens and what has happened is, I believe it was Colin Campbell, there could have been other hockey ops representatives on the call. They would have talked to Brian McClellan of the Washington Capitals and Jeff Gorton prior to his firing to say, look, just play a hockey game here. We don't want any carryover from the other night. We do not want any form of retribution coming from the New York Rangers. If that happens, then you're going to face the consequences. So, in fact, Noodles, I don't think there was just one call. I think there were two calls. There was one yesterday and then a follow-up call today. And that's not unusual, right? You know, that's often the case. Cole Campbell will get on the blower. On occasion, Paris will call teams and just say, hey, you know, we need to just keep it between the lines. So the NHL most definitely, even prior to the statement, was sensitive to the possibility of there being retribution in a rematch, but they've warned both sides to keep it as clean as possible and just play the game.
With Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider, there's a lot of connecting of the dots, some of them that may be legit, some of them that may not be. We're trying to get a read on James Dolan, which can be an impossibility. But
yeah,
I guess,
good luck.
Yeah, exactly. And Mark Messier has chimed in here, and this is a somewhat explosive comment from him. courtesy of Molly Walker, who's a reporter down in New York, asking Messier about the scenario a couple of days ago. And Messier said, quote, in my opinion, if you're going to win, you've got to be able to win in the street and the alley. I particularly would not have built the team that didn't have answers in this regard, end quote. So that would suggest calling out Gorton, Davidson, and as I'm trying to connect these dots, again, some of them real, some of them not, maybe Dolan felt that way. But if it feels that way, how do you issue a statement the way you did two nights ago or yesterday?
Right.
Where you're like, I hate violence and fire this guy and he needs to be banned for life. But then at the same time, maybe looking at your team and saying, I don't like the way we're built because a guy like Wilson can roll into our building and manhandle us the way he did. So how are we supposed to put all this together?
Well, you know, is Matt's wrong? I'm not so sure he is. Although, you know, the role of the deterrent slash enforcer has basically disappeared over time. You know, I look at, you know, Wayne Simmonds, you look at some other players who play a tough game and can fight when you need them to fight, but that's not their primary role. The New York Rangers don't have an answer for Tom Wilson, but I don't know that there is an answer for Tom Wilson when he loses, you know, his cool in the fashion that he did earlier this week. Already the speculation has drifted out there, even though a Rangers source confirmed that Chris Drury will be president and general manager on a permanent basis. You know, the rumor is already out there about, I wonder if Mark Messier is going to find his way into the New York Rangers hockey operations department in some fashion. So I hadn't heard or seen that quote, but as soon as you read it, Brian, I started to think to myself, I wonder if there's anything more to this. I don't know that there would be. Again, I double checked to make sure that Drury, in fact, is the president and GM, and I was told he is, and it's not an interim role, dual role. It is, it's permanent. So there may not be room for mess in that group.
Darren, if we went through Gary Bettman's call history for yesterday, who did he call and what did he have to say regarding this situation, obviously?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know for sure, that he would have talked to Dolan, James Dolan. I'd be real surprised if he didn't. I mean, there are layering effects to this, right? Gary talks to the owners, Bill Daly, to some degree, spends a lot of time with the owners, but he also talks to team presidents and on occasion general managers. Colin Campbell most definitely would have talked to the general managers, but specific to Bettman, I'd be surprised, in fact, if he didn't have a conversation with Leonsis in Washington, and definitely after the statement by James Dolan, I'd be surprised if Bettman didn't reach out and they had an interesting conversation.
With Darren Dreger, our TSN Hockey Insider, switching to the Leafs here, some news came out of their camp today. Nick Foligno, day-to-day, he will not play tomorrow, likely won't play Saturday, but I think day-to-day prognosis is good. I mean, that's a positive.
Yeah.
That means he should be back for game one of the playoffs. Riley Nash skating and Zach Hyman skating today. That would suggest the two of them should be prepared to go come game one. Again, I think that's a positive for the Leafs, but the Freddie Anderson news is what kind of sticks out here.
Yeah.
That he's going to be sent down on a conditioning stint with the Marlies, but he's going to play half the game tomorrow night.
Right.
Which, Noodles, that caught your ire as well. I mean, what would be the reasoning behind that? Like a half game?
A half a show tomorrow.
That's that's training camp.
That's what it seems like.
Training camp is you know, split the goalies, get a little feel, get a little game day routine type of thing, but like not the whole game yet, not ready for that, just testing things out kind of feeling. Like that happens in, you know, September when you've had the full off season. So that raises a red flag for me as to like how far along he is and really how close he may not be to playing in the playoffs.
Exactly right. I don't think that this is the Toronto Maple Leafs or the Toronto Marlies being cheeky and observing a bit of a training camp routine. I think it speaks more to Freddie's readiness and not overloading him. Although, you know, if the best you can do is a half game and you can't play a full game, then you can't be close to being ready for a Stanley Cup playoff game. Right, or even an NHL regular game, season game for that matter. So it's curious to be sure. I mean, the good news is that he is going to the Marlies at least to get some time to see how he feels. But this doesn't appear to be anything more than a simple test drive.
Yeah, and that again with the playoffs, you know, only a couple of weeks away, and you could be in a playoff game where you could go to four overtimes. You know, you could face 75 shots. So you got to be prepared for that. And playing half a game in the minors would not suggest he's that close.
And just to climb on this one more thing, the verbiage kind of set a red flag to see how he feels. That was another thing. Like it was.
Yeah, like if he comes out of a half a game and doesn't feel good, he's done for the year. Like it's just done. Yeah,
that was the only thing that concerned me too is like, hey, he's not going down to get his wind. Like, you know, game time. Like, Sheldon could have said he's playing two games this weekend if they, you know, and he's going down to get his game timing back. He'll start a couple next week. It's like he's going to play a half a game to see how he feels.
Right.
Like that again, I know we just dissect every word and all of that, but that right away said, okay, well, let's see his level of comfort on this. It could not be good after tomorrow's game.
Yeah, and what are you proving in a half a game? That it feels okay. So then the next game you play the full game, or you jump back to the Maple Leafs and you play a full regular season game or two before the start of the postseason. I mean, that would be as good as it gets in terms of getting closer to perfect and having the Campbell Freddie Anderson 1-2 punch. But it just, again, it smells like nobody is convinced that his health, especially Freddie, isn't convinced that his health is at a point where he can play an NHL game. And I would say that is cause for concern, to be sure.
Well, we'll see what happens. Always great catching up with you. We'll do it again soon. Thank you, Dregs.
Okay, guys. Have a good one.
Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider. Yeah, I think you're reviewing the wording appropriately there, Noodles. I mean, and the actions speak louder than words. I mean, you're going to the minors and you're going to play half a game and we'll see how it is. When we're 2 weeks away from game one of the playoffs.
Right. So. Like, I'm going on your scenario that last game on the 19th could be an afternoon game and the playoffs could start that night for the Canadian teams. That's probably the earliest that we're looking. But that's 2 weeks today.
Right.
So, you know, he's going to play a half game tomorrow. Maybe it goes well and he plays a full game on the weekend. I get it. I used to do that with my goalies early on in training camp. A couple half games, then a full game, and then another full game before you get into regular season. But that's just, that's regular season. Like, he, to me, he still needs to be involved in 3-4 real games before you're even looking at the playoffs.
At this point, if Jack Campbell's healthy, it would be an absolute shock if he's not playing game one.
Like game one.
A shock. Yeah. But if he were to get injured, then you might have something you have to determine and decide. And ultimately, it comes back to Freddie Anderson and his comfort level and whether or not he can play, you know, how he feels, what he's willing to battle through, what he is battling. You know, these are all undetermined scenarios right now. And the Leafs, again, back on the ice today. Rasmus Sandin staying on that top power play unit. And I will say this, man, his ability to control the puck and play with the puck, he is maybe their best puck-moving defenseman already, you know, in terms of just being able to make some plays that other guys are not comfortable with.
I will say right now he is the best power play defenseman. The way he has subtle little fakes, moves the puck, shifts around, it's just – and it's nothing against Morgan Riley, but this guy just – it seems to – it's he'll deliver it to a guy, and that guy will be a little bit more open. He'll – he does some really good things, creative things and confident things with the puck. And it's not a situation where I don't think he doesn't belong there.
No, I'm with you on that. I mean, I'm not saying hand him the keys necessarily, but I would keep giving him some runway here and give him an opportunity.
And like that's what they're doing down the stretch.
And I think it's a smart play. Yep. I think it's a smart play. And I think, again, if we're reading the tea leaves, that would probably tell you about how they feel about his chances of playing come playoff time. And as far as I know,
he's playing.
And if Bogosian's out, he's playing. But if Bogosian comes back and returns,
he's still playing.
I think he's still playing too. Yeah, I think Travis Dermott might be the odd man out. But I've been thoroughly impressed with the way, you know, he can play with the puck, and he makes some plays out there where you're like, that was cheeky. Like that was something that most guys aren't thinking of doing or willing to try.
Or
can do at such a young age. Yeah. And he's got to keep, you know, positioning. He's got to keep being in the right spot. He's going to learn the game. He hasn't gone up against the best competition 5-on-5. They're protecting him like they should.
Sure.
But in terms of him just proving that he's capable of playing at the NHL level and comfortable at the NHL level, those are big markers that you got to check off.
I think it's a good sign. Like, what is he going to be 2 years from now? Like that's, you know, he doesn't have to be the guy right now. He can be a part of the process. He can play. He can go up and down your defensive pairing. But like the ceiling, where is he going to be 2 years from now? Like when they, you know, Riley is either in the mix or out of the mix, you know, he'll jump over Muzzin. Like that's, you're always, I know the Leafs are in win now mode, but they still have to look towards the future. Like Edmonton played that Bouchard last night. Like that's their future on the back end. Like you have to still continue to infuse these guys into the lineup to give them that experience. And Sandin is handled everything very well. Why not continue to give him more when really right now these next four games are getting through them. They're tune-ups.
Yeah, they're tune-ups. I mean, technically, Edmonton, I guess, is still within range, but the Leafs have got that top spot. And what did McDavid have? 2 assists last night? Like I'm losing track.
Off night. Had an off night.
Yeah, a couple of second assists, too, I think. That's unacceptable for him.
Actually, no, the one was a beautiful pass to Draisaitl. But if you get a chance, like I listened to Draisaitl speak last night. It was amazing to hear what he had to say about McDavid because – Draisaitl's had a great year, and basically everyone asked about McDavid, and somebody said, like, you know, you had 2 goals tonight, and you were asked about McDavid. You know what he said? He goes, as they should. He gave me 2 great looks. Like, he's having an amazing season. And somebody said, well, you're having a great season, too. Like, you know, what do you are you not jealous, but do you have a little bit of upsetness because you're not talking? He goes, hey, I had my shine last year. This is all him. Like, it was unbelievable to hear how he just deflected everything to McDavid, and he should.
Yeah, he also said this. He always says Connor says that the Hunter is not important. He said, "Well, it's important to us, and we want to get it for him, help him get it."
A lot like people are saying about Austin here, like it, you know, getting to 40 and all of that. Like they're saying the right things. You know, these guys want to do it, right?
Absolutely, and as they should, and like those, they everyone knows how the bread is buttered in Toronto and Edmonton. You know, like as great as Drysdale is, and he's a great, great player, McDavid is. You know, the king of that county, and the same thing would apply here. Like you've got Mitch Marner and Leon Draisaitl who are having outstanding years. Like Draisaitl, I'm sure would argue last year was his career year. Not to suggest he can't match it or pass it at some point, but he won the Hart last year. Last year he was exceptional, but this year he's second in points by a decent margin.
Oh yeah,
he's having a great year, and Mitch Marner's having a career year. Like Marner's been exceptional this year, and yet it's the shine is off them to an extent. Because of what Matthews and McDavid are doing. And yet I don't get the impression like it's causing any issues. Like what Draisaitl said postgame and what Marner tried to do for Matthews two nights ago. You know, actions and words, but I think it suggests the same thing. Like we're riding together here and we're all on the same page and it's all good. And it says something about McDavid and Matthews, I think, as well, that by all accounts, you know, the team loves them, the boys love them, and that goes a long way. Like when your best player superstar is also the guy that people kind of gravitate to, that can really help a group.
Right.
And I think they've got that in Toronto, and I think they've got that in Edmonton as well. Ray's coming up. We'll spin the wheel of misfortune at 5:30. Aaron Rodgers causing more of an issue down in Green Bay. We'll get into that. Jay's back in action tonight, and they're moving up to Buffalo as of June. We'll get into that and more coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, the Jays back in action tonight. Their bats were just ice cold last night. Anthony Kay got kind of lit up early, but the bullpen came in, stabilized, but they had nothing going last night. Nothing. At no point did it feel like they were on the verge of breaking out, and Springer was not in the lineup. We have not seen the lineup card for tonight, but I would expect he won't play again tonight.
What a weird season of, like, kind of mediocre ups and downs. You know what I mean? It's just like hovering around 500, Springer maybe coming back, comes back, can't play much longer. It's just kind of a
– tired.
In Dunedin, it's just – yeah, he's tired.
Yeah, it is weird. Tired. Like,
yeah, it is,
a statement today saying, like, we're coming home to Buffalo on June 1st. So they have to promote this idea that it's some big homecoming. And they're going to Buffalo.
I know. You know what I've started to think about? I'm already wondering if the way that this government in this country has handled this virus and the vaccinations, and it's because of sports that I'm thinking about this, but we're not out of the woods for next season for the NHL as far as what's going on in this country. Next season has got to be talked about.
Well, the reason, and believe me, there'll be lots to unpack, but because if we're targeting, and I think the NHL is targeting October 9th, you're right. Like, I don't see full buildings October 9th, but I do see...
Not even close.
I do see progression. Like, I
Jamie,
think the states,
we can't play golf, dude.
The states are easily 6 months ahead.
Hey, don't give me a month. Don't tell me a month.
But here's the thing. Like we're in it now, like right now, which is, you know, the golf thing. We've been hammering that. I don't know what else to say about that.
I know. But, you've been saying this for a year, though.
But here's the thing. What I will say is the procurement of vaccines, as if I'm an insider, you know, Parliament Hill or Queen's Park.
Yeah.
But now, like I saw the Globe and Mail over the weekend reported that they believe every adult that needs a shot should have the ability to get the second shot by the end of July. So if that is the case, and depending on how people react to it, how many people take it, I mean, there's a lot of variables at play. That's what's happening in the States right now, is everyone that was really horny to get a vaccine went out and got one. Now the people that don't want it, they're realizing, we got a problem here because it stopped. You know, like there's still people getting vaccinated, but it's not at the same rate. Because there's about 30% of the country that doesn't want it and isn't going to get it. So that is kind of affecting how they're going about things. But we are, you know, I know I keep saying this and I'm just beating the same drum, but I do believe by Labor Day, if the vaccination plays out the way it's supposed to as of right now, we should be in a much better position. I can't speak for how they're going to deal with the borders, fans in the stands and all that kind of stuff, but I'd be shocked and I'd be thoroughly disappointed if we're not back to a regular season. And, you know, I think the Jays are what's more interesting here. Like, they could be a playoff team with a packed barn in Buffalo in October. Mm-hmm. How does that work? Like, that better not happen.
What do you think they would take, Hazy? Do you think they'd take the packed barn in Buffalo or the Rogers Center with nothing?
They'd probably go packed barn in Buffalo.
Exactly.
They probably would. We'll discuss that in the next hour. Rays coming up at 5:05. We'll spin the Wheel of Misfortune, see what we're playing at 5:30. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.